Hey, folks, thanks for joining me and Alan once again for our Weight Watch Live, where we're going to show you guys how we can kind of dive into to compare your the slogan that I got. I have a slogan. It's one application, one credit pool. We're going to compare your loan over 30 different lenders. We're going to show you behind the scenes how we do that today. So what's up, Alan?
What's up, Danny?
Did you see those housing numbers? I'm going to go through just some news with you guys today. New home sales up 20%. Alan, I'm going to ask you, because I watched all the analysts on this. Are you getting like a ton of applications for people buying homes?
We're getting a lot. I wouldn't say a ton, but yeah, okay, definitely a lot.
It was funny when this report came out, even the analysts were like, okay. So I want to show you guys some information about this why we got you. But here's the numbers right through here. New home sales, it went from, they were expected to come in at like 650,000. I thought this was going to be bad because Lennar's earnings are bad. A lot of these big companies, their earnings aren't too good. And it came in way above expectations. So here's what we're trying to do for you guys. We're trying to explain to you guys why things are happening behind the scenes. So first off, we want to just go over real quick some of the economics behind this, and then we're going to dive right into those rates. So if you're coming on board and you want us to run your rates for you, I'm going to ask you a question here. I need you guys to fill, when you post in your questions, that's the data I need from you guys down below. If you could give us your credit scores, your home value, loan amount, property type, zip code, the term. Are you looking for a 30-year, a 27-year, a 25-year? And then what kind of loan program are you in? Because we might be able to get you out of that program into another program that might help you out. So let's get over to this. Here's the news, and this is going to be in our blog section. I've been creating these each couple days. I've been putting a blog post out there. So if you guys want to check our website, I think you can subscribe to this. Just go to therateupdate.com and go under resources, and then you're going to hit blogs. I'm starting to create a new newsletter, and that'll be in here shortly. But these are the things we're going to talk about today. Rate forecast, I'm going to give you that, and then also home sales. Just talking about that, just want to go over that with you real quick. Home sales were up over 20%. So I'm not really trusting this data, but it will be revised, I can almost assure you, on the downside. But down through here, inventory is now at a 7.4-month inventory. That's good. 6 months is kind of break-even. Monthly report is volatile and often revised, and you're going to see that everywhere. But here's the weird part, and here's the part I apologize. I've been telling you guys home prices aren't going to go anywhere. Well, so far year-to-date, they're up 1.9%, about 2%. That means if you're in an area that's not doing too well, there's another area doing better than you. So here's what home prices have done so far this year. So that's home prices are on the upswing, and home sales are killing it right now, but I think that's going to get revised. So now to answer those questions for you guys, should you lock in or should you just wait? So I ran some numbers through here, and let's get to some of your questions first before we go back through here, because I'm going to give you my feedback on where I think rates are going to go from here, and should you lock in at these rates, or should you wait a little bit longer? So let's go over to some of the questions that you guys have. If not, Alan has our dashboard on his screen, so I'll move over to him and have him run some scenarios for us. So let's get to see if anybody's out here that has some questions for us, and we don't have a moderator, so... please be nice. Okay, hello, Dan. I want to speak to you personally about an URL. I'd love to reach out for you to reach out to me. Here is my email address. If you could do me a favor, just email me. And just include your phone number. And when the show's over, I will personally give you a phone call. I'll give you my word for that one. So let's go back to this. This is the information we need, folks, if you're looking for a rate quote. And I'd love, we're doing a lot of URLs right now for veterans, so I'd love for you to join us. What do we got here? Jacob, what do you got here? Wanting to do a cash out refinance. Well, absolutely. Alan, if you would... I'm sorry I had this on the board for you for a while, so let me go over here. I don't want you guys to see what I'm going to do on the rating, if you should lock or float. So let's get over to Alan so he can show us where we are in rates today. So, Jacob, if you could give us the information that you're looking for. In the meantime, well, he's looking for a cash out. Alan, run a cash out. The last person asked for an URL. Okay, but if you have a VA loan and you're watching this video, you might not realize, but you have the ability to refinance up to 100% of your house's value. No, I'm not a proponent of that, but we're not trying to put you in any more debt. What we're trying to do is you already have the debt. How about we restructure it to make it make sense for you? Okay, so that might be a reason, you know, to look into refinancing and the debt consolidation. But right now, we're trying our best to keep up with everybody that's putting in their rate triggers. And I'll explain to you guys a little bit part, latter part of this video on how you can actually, on our website, you can actually put in your information and advice, you know, let me know what rate you're looking for to refinance. When rates hit there, I'll reach out directly to you. So, Alan, take it away, my buddy.
Yeah, so what we have is, let's just say we're doing a VA cash out, 100% loan to value. So if the home's worth $475,000, the loan amount will be $475,000. Let's assume the credit score is 760. I just chose a zip code that I know, and coming up with the rate. So you'd be at like 6.5 all day long for 100% financing, no mortgage insurance.
6%. That's awesome. Well, if you switch that from a cash out, what would be a rate and term? So 6%, I got to write this down. 6% is cash out.
6.5, Dan.
6.5, I'm sorry. 6.5. What is it if they were just doing a rate and term?
Let's do.
I'm just interested in what the spread is on this, on that particular scenario, on, because if somebody's watching, they're like, especially the Earl, as soon as he posts his information, we can kind of post that up there. What are you seeing?
0.75 is the spread. So 0.75 points, 5.75 to 6.5.
So 5.75 for basically a refinance on a VA loan. So if you're at, you know, a lot of people, when they're putting in their rate watches, because we give you the ability on our website. Let me go to something real quick. If you go to our website, and here's an instrument we have for you. Oh, it's on yours. Let me go to my website real quick. If you guys want for us to do this, you know, to you, for you personally, just go to our website. Here's therateupdate.com. And you'll just click the refinance tab. What this is going to do, and this is getting revised actually in the next couple of days and getting much more automated, because we got slammed with, there's over 300 people in this over the last month or so that we got. So I'm personally daily going out there texting, calling, reaching out to people. So people are using this tool for is, you're telling us, you know, about your house and things like that, and what your mortgage is, what the mortgage amount is, what the rate is, and then you're going to be able to tell us what rate you want me to monitor for you. So if you're at 7.5 right now, maybe look at 6.5. We have a lot of people putting in this criteria. They're like, I'm at 7.99, but I want a 5.5 rate. I'll let you kind of handle that one. So we'll go back to Alan's screen, but that happens quite a bit. You'll be talking to somebody and they're like, I'm at 8, but I want 5.5, and it's like, well, you could save $400, $500 a month. You get what I say.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see what you got here. I got to get back to your screen. My apologies. All right. Let's see if he was able to put in his information yet. What's your email? He wants to just reach out to me. So, Jacob, who do we have here? Jacob, if you can give us your information, that would be awesome. Let's just, on the fly, Alan, let's just do some of the recent ones you got. I think I submitted a second home refinance today. I think we had an FHA maybe. So if you can run in like an FHA refi. Because again, if you go to our rate watch triggers, there's so many people that they're at like 7.5 and they want, you know, 5. Well, the savings, you can have a lot of savings and even a break even point way before that. So Jacob, he's posting it now, Alan. Let's see what we got, my friend.
Okay, let's do that one. 720 FICO. All right. We'll run conventional and FHA in this one just to see the differences, because 720 might give us some bumps to the rate. Refi cash out. Home values 260. Currently at 4.5 rate. Why don't I do a refi at a higher rate? Okay. So the max loan to value would be 80% when you're doing a cash out. 720 credit score. Zip code shouldn't really matter here, but let's take a look. Conventional. So this is probably, yeah, this is going to be 7 1/8.
Ouch.
Probably 699. We could probably get down to. The challenge is going to be you're going up to the maximum loan to value for cash out and your credit score 720. That's good, but you know, that's about three tiers below the top tier for conventional. So you're going to get punished there. But let's look at FHA. I would think 575. Yep. 575.
Wow. It's over a point different. So here's, I do want to, Jacob, I do want to explain to you FHA. So I want everybody to understand all the pieces of the puzzle when it comes to these loans. FHA, here, I'll give you the pros and the cons, okay? The pros, you saw it. The rate's fantastic. You would have MI, an MI premium. But even with that, your principal and interest in your MI, it's going to be dramatically, your payment will be dramatically lower than a conventional loan. Now, a lot of people, they really don't like FHA loans. They're like, okay, that's for people with bad credit. That's for people. Folks, you could see the spread here. So what we're looking at is, like I said earlier, we're not trying to put you in any worse of a financial position. We're just trying to take the debt that you have and make it make sense. So with an FHA loan, there are FHA fees. They charge you, they do. We facilitate the thing, but we don't make any money when it comes to it. They charge you 1.75%. percent of the loan amount, and then there is a monthly mortgage insurance, and usually that mortgage insurance is a lot less than conventional loans if your credit scores are lower. So you saw in this one, you know, where FHA probably would be the best bet for you, and when it comes to rates and payments. Another benefit with FHA versus a lot of the, you know, with a conventional loan is when you go to refinance it, it's pretty simple to do. You don't need an appraisal unless you're pulling out cash. But if you're just looking to do a refinance, you don't need an appraisal. You don't even need to verify your income. As long as your credit's good enough and you haven't missed any payments in the last 12 months, it's basically just a lot of paperwork that we do. So if you're out there with an FHA loan, you just saw it right through here. You know, we're it's in the 5% range. So fantastic. So Jacob, the FHA might be the way for you to go. If you want to, you know, talk to Alan or me after the fact, please, you know, go to therateupdate.com. Down below in our description, you can find our phone number. It's an 800 number. Call in. It's either going to be me or Alan answering. So there's no, it's not a call center. It's just, it's me and him. So if anybody else has anything out there, please let us know. I know it's, I try to do these at 1 o'clock to try to get more and more people involved. But Alan, let's run another scenario. Here's a, and when you're done with that, what I'd like to do is let's also look at adjustable rate mortgages, because last week there was an article saying last week adjustable rate mortgages, just the applications just skyrocketed. And then some people were like, that's a bad, you know, that's not good. And others say, so what's your take on, I just want to get your take on it, an adjustable rate mortgage. You know, when you have a borrower call you and say, you know, if you ask them, yeah, you're interested in an adjustable rate mortgage, what do they usually say?
They're usually terrified of them. Which, you know, if you do a 5 or a 7 year ARM, that's not bad. It's locked in for that time frame. But what I'm seeing is the rates on those are not going to be any better than a 30 year fixed. So I don't, yeah. You know, maybe in some jumbo situations, the ARM has better pricing, but you know, if it's in a conforming market, I'm still not seeing where the ARM is priced better than a 30 year fix. So we don't really do many of them. We're starting to see more. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you run it? Let's run a scenario in here. We can make it as simple as we can, and then maybe move the pendulum up or the loan amount up a little bit and see if there's a sweet spot somewhere. Because even when you go on Mortgage News Daily each day, like I'm in there now, they're showing a rate, the 30-year fix at 6.3, and they're putting the 7-year ARM at 5.8. I tell you what, if I was proposed that, a 0.5% reduction in my rate for an ARM, I'd probably take it.
Yeah.
You know, and here's, let me explain something to you guys here. Alan, if you could prep, I'm gonna bring my screen on just for a second. If you could prep kind of like in the background, just pull up like an ARM quote. But here's where Mortgage News Daily has the ARMs. Okay, 5.8 versus 6.3. this number, these numbers right here are really important. Okay, here's what these mean. The first number in front of that, that means how long you're going to have that rate. So in this case, that says you're going to have a rate at 5.82 for 7 years, and it's locked in. It doesn't move. Okay, then after 7 years, it's going to adjust. Then the next number is that. It's going to be a 6 or a 1. It's going to adjust every 6 months. And it's going to be tied to the SOFR. This is like, you ever heard of the prime rate? This is a rate out there that banks use to actually, you know, adjust their rates. That's what they use as a margin in yields and so forth. So look up the SOFR. But this rate's locked for 7 years. If you go back in history, over time, the average person held their loan for 7 years. And that's it's a coincidence, I guess. But you can get a 3-year ARM. You can get a 5-year ARM. You can get a 7-year ARM. So, Alan, if we go back, if you could kind of show some of those, maybe if we could show a 3 and a 5 or whatever you have.
Yeah, so this is a 7-year ARM. 950 purchase value of the home, 665 loan amount, high credit score. You're looking at 6. So pretty good, but not what you were just looking at. Was showing.
How about what's a 5 look like?
5-year.
So you're 6 on a 7.
6 on a 5. I'd do a 7 on that.
Absolutely.
3-year, let's see. Yep, ineligible. Not a lot of 3 years available.
See, that's what's wild about when you hear the news in all these places, like adjustables are just, they're taking off. But they're not. If you could go back to the one, it was at 6, that the one you had up. Change it. What's it on a 30-year fixed? Is it that much different? And that's what I was saying. Most of the time, the spread isn't that big. If it is, it might be something to look into.
An eighth difference.
I'd never do it for an eighth.
No.
I'd never do it for an eighth. So that's what I'm saying. So if you're getting quotes on an adjustable rate mortgage, you know, also get a quote for what the fixed would be. And the spread, I'd say if the spread's a 0.5%, I'd take it. The reason being is, you know, don't get like a 2 or 3 year ARM. Look at a 5 or 7 because that's the duration of time you want out there, because you don't, you know, who knows what's going to happen in 3 to 5 years. So, okay, let's get over to, I think we got a couple more questions.
Yeah.
If we got somebody in there. I have a balance of 450 in a home equity of 90. Let's see what the rest of the data is. Can I refinance to one loan? Home was 640. So we got a 640 and they owe 540. And if you would, if you could give us the rest of the data that we need, and I'll put that right back on the screen.
Yeah.
If you can.
So this is going to be.
What's that?
If we do 450 plus 90 is 540, so that, and the home's worth 640, you're at 84% loan to value. When you do a cash out, you're going to be limited to 80. So that one might be tough. There is one lender that we can do that will go up to 90% cash out, but you're going to have a higher rate. But so it can be done. It'll just be ugly.
Got it. So what Alan's referring to is the home equity loan. So sometimes if it's a home equity loan that you did or you acquired to purchase the home, you know, as an acquisition, maybe you did a first mortgage and a home equity second to kind of facilitate it. That's called a purchase money second. That can be refinanced in and not be treated as a refinance. But most people, when you have a home equity loan, you got it after the fact, you used it to pay off bills and things like that. And if that's the case, then you know, you can't go over 80% loan to value on that. So good try. But what you might want to do is do a little more research to see what that value truly is on your home, because I mean the prices are all over the map.
Yeah, 675 would be what he would need for 80% loan to value. So close.
So check and see if you know, if you can maybe even get a realtor out there to give you what they call a BPO. It's a broker price opinion, and just gives you an idea what your house would be appraised for and sell for. Just a thought. Let's keep going through here. We got another one. We have 84096. Oh, that's that one. Okay.
Yep.
We got Kevin. What's up, Kevin? Hi, guys. Bank statement loans, do you do them? What is the interest rate? Yes, we do them. And Alan, you're probably the best one to answer that question than me. You do more of those than I do.
Yeah, they definitely range. It's going to be based on your credit score, you know, situation. But we see them in the low sevens for the most part. They're going to be definitely higher than a conforming or an FHA loan. But yeah, we definitely do them. I would think that the rate would be close to seven, a little bit over that.
Yeah. If you're an investor out there, what the young man was, what Kevin was asking about is, do we do loans with using bank statements as your income? And we do. We also have an asset depletion. I'm working with some higher end, people with a lot of money, I guess. And we're able to get them loans just using their assets. What we do is we take their total assets, we multiply it by 75%. And then what's used is we just take that balance, whatever they owe left, and divide it by the term of the mortgage that they'd be getting. So if it's a 15-year term, we take how much money they have in their investments and divide it by 180 months, which is 15 years, and we can use that as their income. So I have two or three clients of mine right now qualifying based on that data. Then if you're an investor out there, the best program by far for you is what's called the DSCR. It's a debt service coverage ratio loan. And if you're an investor out there and you're looking to invest or finance investment properties, that one's a no-brainer in most cases. So that's what I would be looking at. So let's keep moving along. We got, I don't know how to say, it's your code name, so I'll say Dorit. I'll keep off the numbers. Alan, all yours, buddy.
Yeah, so I'm reading through this. I would think that the savings would be more than 170. Let's just take a look. No, I think that the loan amount is 694. That would be 80% of 868. So if he's at 7625 currently, his principal and interest payments 49.15 at 6 1/8. Now that's what, $700 less. So something's goofy in this. If it's only cutting down 170 per month, yeah, that math's not adding up.
Yeah, call us. Monthly, they quoted me $4,000 in closing costs. Let me do this if that's okay. I can actually show it on my screen. Or if you go to the rate up, Alan, if you want to go to the rateupdate.com and just hit the calculators and plug in those numbers, his savings has got to be crazy. I did one Monday. It was, I don't know if I told you about it. It was like a $1.1 million loan. Their monthly savings was, they could save like $1,200 a month. That was wild.
Yeah. Let's take a look.
I think you go hit the, there's another one for you that might be a little bit better. If you go back in the calculators and hit the, all the way at the top in the blue box. Up the calculator tabs. Yep, click that and then hit used in videos. All right. And then the should I refi? That's the best one. That's probably one of the best ones that I use because it gives you a whole bunch of data right there on the screen.
694, 400. $7,625 new loan. Let's just say it's the $694,400. Yeah, this is showing almost $700 a month in savings. So something's going on goofy. I don't know if they're quoting him a 20-year loan. That might make sense. And that would probably be in the, I'm seeing those in the mid to high fives right now.
Got it. Just for kicks, change that. Could you change that term to 180 and just see if that, I'd be interested to see if he looked at like a 15 or 20 year term if he's comfortable paying the same payment, he could save a lot of money. You know what I mean? Over the life of the loan. No.
Yeah.
Never mind. Dorit, call us after the show, please, or just reach out to us. Send me an email. Love to talk to you about your situation. And this is why we do these, folks, because something just doesn't add up there. Let's keep going. It's a conventional loan. All right. And Dorit, let's see if he's got another one correctly pronounced. Right. Okay. Reach out to me. Here, I'll put that back up on the screen. So here is, just shoot me an email, and I will give you a call after the show, my friend. Thank you so much. All right, let's keep going down through. Where are we? We got, did we answer this one? My home value is $400,000. Oh, you take it. I talk enough.
Yeah, so $400,000, she wants to do cash out, about $90,000. She owes $228,000, so that would be $318,000. Let's see what that. So just under 80, so we're good there. Refi cash out, credit score 786. Let's take a look. I would think that's going to be. Yeah, I would say probably mid sixes we can get it to, going to some other lenders, but I would, you know, be in the mid to upper sixes.
Yeah,
for this situation.
The tough thing is, and if you're watching right now, you might ask, you know, why are they looking to trade in a 3.875 rate to get that money? I mean, sometimes people just want one payment. They want to consolidate, maybe trade in that rate just to have that one payment. Because a lot of times when you look at a second mortgage or possibly a home equity loan, those rates could be like the prime rate right now is, what, 8? So a lot of home equity loans are like prime plus something. So you'd be might 10, 12% interest rates. So that's why a lot of people don't elect to go that route. But
we're seeing a lot of people consolidating bills, you know, even if the cash out's like 40 or 50,000, you know, they're getting rid of, you know, $1,000 to $1,500 a month in payments.
Yeah, it's not. So when you look at it over the whole scheme of things, again, we're not trying to put you in any more debt. We're just trying to help you restructure it. So crypto investments, are we allowed to use them now? Because I saw something come out recently from the government saying, I think Trump approved the acceptance of crypto.
I saw that too. Do you know? I'm not sure on that. Yeah. In the past, we've had to have people liquidate them into using it for reserves or assets. I'm not sure if what's going on now, though.
You might, Jay, unless you need it, or Jav. Sorry about Jav. Unless you need it for the transaction, we can help you through it if that's what you're, if you're needing that for something, or if you just need to show it as reserves. But if you need it, there's a way we can show, as long as you own it, we can go get your statements and your transactions and so forth. We can validate it, prove it's yours, and then if you need that money for the transaction, you can liquidate it. We paper trail it, and then you can use it. But they're trying to get it through legislation right now that you don't have to go through all that. You can just kind of send it right to the closing. But how expensive to buy down a rate? Is it worth it? Alan, all you, buddy.
Well, the cost is going to be different every scenario. You know, let's just say, let's use this example. For a 1 point buy down is the same as 1% of the loan amount. So if the loan amount's 280, it's going to be $2,800. Typically, I'm not seeing much of, I'm not really seeing that big of a difference in rate. But let's say, okay, so here we go. This situation here, if you were not to buy it down, you'd be right around 6.375, and a point is going to cost, you know, just over $3,000, or just right around $3,000, and you get down to 5.875. So that in this situation, it has, what is that, a half a point reduction. That's not always the case. Varies based on credit scores, loan to value, but in this situation, that might make sense. But you know, there's really not one answer to the question. But it would be one thing that we would look at You know, if you want to reach out to us, we can definitely say, okay, this is what it would be with no points, and this is what it would be for 1 point, and kind of give our input. Because sometimes, you know, depending on the loan amount, the points could be $8,000 or $9,000, and I would, you'd have a hard time making that make sense.
Yep. There's sometimes, like, I had an investor call me last night. We just started the paperwork this morning, and he's like, I really need like 6.3 to make the transaction make sense. And I'm like, the rate's 6.5, but if you pay an underwriting fee, and I think the underwriting fee was like $9.95, I got him 6.3. So we usually, when we quote you back, we usually don't really include any, the minimal amount of costs possible. And here's how I look at it. Maybe we shouldn't do it this way, but here's how I look at it. We know the Federal Reserve's, they're on a rate cut path. Okay, so let me do something. Let's jump over to my screen real quick, and let me give you my thoughts on where rates are going to go from here. So I probably talked to 8 or 9 people today, and the biggest question is, should we lock or should we wait? So here's the analysis I put together. So there's a lot of moving parts coming down the pike over the next few days, but a lot of times it's like, okay, if I miss it tomorrow, what's in the, you know, what's over the next couple weeks? Because I don't have want to be on the bubble that I have to make a decision today. So here's my thought behind things. I just thought I would lay it out for you guys and just explain why I did this. So if you're looking for short term, so if you need to close like now, you need to close within 30 days, just lock. Okay, because there's a lot of things coming down the pike over the next few days and next week that could affect rates. So let's kind of go through here's my thoughts on all this. The base camp, we got the PCE number coming in this week on Friday. We got jobs numbers coming in as well as GDP. So here's my thought. Base camp, core PCE moderates, GDP not alarming, 30-year fix is going to hold at 6.25 to 6.6, right where they are now, but with a tendency of moving up a little bit. If the inflation number comes in a little bit hotter than expected, well, you're going to have rates going back up to 6.5, maybe 7%, and they could go up fast. And I'm not trying to scare you folks, and just sit on the sidelines and wait if you don't believe me. The downside risk, cool PCE, which I don't see that happening, and a softer job market. They could drop a little bit. But I don't see the PCE cooling off anytime soon because a lot of tariffs or some tariffs still haven't even hit the numbers yet. So we have China, the tariff agreement hasn't been made yet. But then also in the backdrop, we have the government could possibly be shutting down at the end of the month. Well, there's so much stuff down the pike that could be detrimental for you. And here's the analogy I usually make to a lot of people is every time I used to put this in my videos a lot. Every morning when I drive to work, I'd tell people what the gas prices were. And it was amazing. Like one night I was going home and gas prices went from like $3.50 to like $4. And I was like, how the hell does that happen? Like by the time within 8 hours of me going to work and coming back, that's how it goes. So that's kind of the same thing how mortgage rates work. They go up fast. When they come down, usually they trickle down. So here's my thoughts. If you're closing within 30 days or less, lock it in. 30 to 61 days, lock before all this data comes in. And if rates plummet, and I'm saying if rates drop over 0.25%, we have the ability to do a buy down or move lenders. Okay, 60 days or longer, if you're looking to build or buy, hold off. Because as the data comes in and we get more clarification on these things, you might be okay. But again, if you're closing short term and you're looking at these rates where they are today, don't look to give horse in the mouth because these rates, who knows what they're going to do. So again, here's where my projections are midterm over the next 6 to 12 weeks. Rates could hit 6 if we see a lot of numbers that come in that really force the Fed to come in and cut. I don't think that's going to happen. Here's what I'm thinking. It's just going to stay between these right through here. So we're going to stay about 6.25 to 6.5 over the short term until there's something to just kick us to the next level. So that's my thought on there. You can find this on our blog. So if you go to therateupdate.com right through, let's just go up through here. Where is it? You can go right through the resources. I will be creating a newsletter. It'll be starting. We're trying to start that on Monday. But blogs, hit blogs. I'm going to try to keep you guys posted throughout this system with weekly updates and my forecast with prices. And should you lock or should you not lock? So I'm trying my best to help keep the word out to you guys. But and thank you for joining us here. If you're here, that means you You want to kind of learn and do something. So, Alan, let's keep take it back to you, my friend. We'll go back to some more questions. Let's see what we got.
Yeah.
So what could be the monthly
payment? Yeah, I went back and looked at that situation. Her principal and interest payment would be
$2,100. $2,100. So if that works, again, go to the rate update. You can give us a call. Our number's on there. There's an Ask Dan button where you can ask me a question, or just put in your application, and we can you know, when we call you for your consultation, you'll be like, hey, I was the one on your live event. So thanks for joining us. The next question we got, what do we got here? I got a refi quote and my loan balance is 406, but refinance quote showed the balance would be 412. Where does that 6,000 come from? FHA Streamline. Thanks. You're the fees guy.
That most likely is coming from the upfront MIP, mortgage insurance premium. That's going to be 1.75% of whatever the base loan amount is, and then that's financed into the loan, so that gets added to the 406. I would think that'd be I can figure it out real quick. 406.
Thanks, Paco, for the question, yeah. Man.
That should be it. It's the upfront mortgage insurance premium. And, you know, a lot of people that are refinancing were first-time homebuyers, so they haven't refinanced before. Whenever you refinance a mortgage, the balance is always going to – the payoff amount is always going to be more than the balance, because they add 1 month's worth of interest to the payoff, because interest is paid in arrears. So, you know, that could be another reason too, is the interest is added to the payoff amount, which is always going to be the case for a mortgage refinance.
Fantastic question, though. And again, that's another one where you can actually go to our website and hit refinance, and then, or in your case, click the loan estimate review, upload your loan estimate into that, and that'll actually I'll review it, and I'll actually do a video just like this and send it back to you, and I'll go over what, you know, what the costs are, what your payments would be, and then any other questions that you might have. So, you know, check out our website. There's a lot of data there to help you. Let's get to the next one. What do we got? Do you think rates will drop a lot after the Fed chair is gone in May? Wow. I don't know. There's so much going to happen between now and May. But I watched an interview with the person that the President Trump just put in right before the meeting. He's the one that wanted 5 rate cuts. And I'm not on board on that, folks. I don't think the Federal Reserve should be cutting rates 5 times. As the data comes in, they're gonna probably cut once or twice, and then it's gonna, you know, just because Powell gets removed doesn't mean the rates are gonna go crazy. I know President Trump wants rates down, especially mortgages. He's a real estate person, but you know there is reasons why they're where they are and so forth. So do I expect them to get the 4 ever again? No. Will they get in the 5s? They'll eventually get in the 5s, maybe next year or so forth. But a lot of times when you're looking into this, we usually our biggest, and one of the biggest things I kind of push, and Alan's great at this, explaining to you guys how the fees get involved. Because a lot of people will send us quotes, or they're like, hey, I got a quote from this one place and it's better than yours or whatever. And then when you dive into the fees, it's like, are you're paying that much in the fees? So fees are a big role in a lot of these. So to make sure when you're getting quotes, you know, you really break it down. Don't be wowed over just the rate alone. Okay, makes sense. Seems like it's going to be square one since its original loan amount. The saving on my monthly payments. Fantastic. Let's get to the next question that we got. My home is valued at $800,000. Current rate is 7.5. Want a 15-year? With what is it? Want a 15-year with $450,000? You can do it. Don't need to read it.
All right. So he wants a 450 loan amount, $800,000, 735. Let's see. I would probably say 5.5 would be, you know, realistic if we go outside of the this system to a few other lenders. You're probably looking into mid-5s for sure.
What's that payment? Just so Amit, you can see what the payment is. I know you can't. If you could,
37.37.
That's your principal and interest payment, Amit. So you might want to you know, compare that to what you're paying now, it's probably same or low. Well, you're putting down $150,000. So,
well, hang on.
It might even be the same or less than you're paying now.
He's on a 30-year loan amount is at 600. And his rate is 7.5.
Yeah.
His good idea. Principal and interest payment will be
5. We have a new router installed.
I think he actually might be saving money.
Well, putting 150 grand down as well. Yeah. That's awesome.
He'd probably be saving about $400 a month and reducing his term. Yeah, that's uncommon, that's right, but definitely a great deal.
You have to admit. Did you back in the numbers? Did you see how I played in that? Did you back in? This is brilliant if you did it. Did you back in the numbers for that? Well, you didn't. You couldn't have backed in the numbers because you didn't know the rate. But that's fantastic news. Here, let's see. Did we answer this one? I apologize. Okay, Amit. If you want some information from us, just call us afterwards, go to our website, put in an Ask Dan, or just email us, and we'd be more than happy to answer any questions that you have and maybe even do a consultation or a specific video directly for you. So thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it. How's inventory so far? Do you see ARM loans at the level? No. I don't know the last time I did an adjustable rate mortgage.
We haven't done one this year.
Yeah, so that's why Alan and I, we're doing this video. I don't see the huge spreads that you see on all these websites and stuff because we have access to over 30 different lenders, as you're seeing. None of them have it. So, maybe it's just proprietary banks or community banks that are offering it. I don't know, but I don't see adjustable rate mortgages going crazy. But to John, the reason why you probably ask is why did you ask 2008? Well, I'll kind of, unless you want to, reply, but I'll probably ask, I'll answer for you. 2008 is that poster child year or term that everybody has, and the market, the housing market crashed. So you see these videos, it's going to be worse than 2008. And you see these other things. Oh, 2008. The reason why 2008 crashed is because they had adjustable rate mortgage programs that were dismal. I don't even know how people didn't really need to do anything to qualify. You didn't have to verify your income. They would do a first and a second mortgage up to 100% loan to value. So you didn't even need any money down. They were on teaser rates, and most of them were 1, 2, 3 year adjustable rates. So in a year or two, they adjusted. They were on negative AM payments. So the payments were a half, maybe a third of what they should be on just a normal mortgage. So when those loans start, coming due, and then home prices stagnated and start going down, nobody could refinance, and then nobody could make the payments either. So what happened is everybody went into foreclosure, had to put their house on the market because nobody could make the payments, nobody could refinance, and that's what happened. In today's world, those loans don't exist. There's not, there's no negative AM. You have to qualify with some kind of assets, and you need money down. You need to put some skin in the game, maybe 15, 20% sometimes when you're getting stated programs and so forth. So the atmosphere and the lending piece of the puzzle is truly different, much different today than it was back then. So adjustable rate mortgages, like we said, if you get a 5 or 7 year adjustable, it's locked. It's locked for 5 to 7 years. That's a long time. So, and if the spread's big enough, maybe look at it. But I want to spread at least 0.5% before I would take an adjustable rate mortgage. And would I take one in today's world? Absolutely, I would. The next question is, it's up to you, Alan.
Ramesh. Is 2+ buy down refinance better option over fixed? I'm not sure what he's referring to, 2+ buy down. There's a temporary buy down program, but that's for purchases, not for refinances. So I don't know what that question is really.
Yeah. So Amesh, I think what you might be asking is, can you do the 2-1 temporary buy down on a refinance? I There might be one lender, I think, doing it, but it doesn't really make any sense to do it. And here, I'll explain why. When you're doing the 2-1 buy down or the 3-2-1 temporary buy down and so forth, what happens is your mortgage payment is getting subsidized during that term. So let's say you got a 2-1 buy down. So for 2 years, your rate is lower, or your payments are lower than what they should be. Okay, so but what you need to do is you need to put a bunch of money into this account to subsidize the payment each month. Well, it doesn't make sense if that money you're putting into that account is your money, because all you're doing is putting your money over in this account to make your mortgage payment every month. So it has to be paid by the builder or the seller or maybe even your realtor. So it's called a temporary 2-1 buy down. You won't want to do that in a refinance because you're going to be using your own money and it wouldn't make much sense. So if you a little more confusing, you're more than welcome to shoot me an email and I can explain it maybe a little bit better for you. But that's kind of how it works. So if you're going to refinance, don't look into a temporary 2-1 buy down because you're just bringing more money to the closing that you don't have to. And then, okay, thanks. So that is it. So, folks, that might be it for today. We have been on here for about an hour. Let me recast. I'm just going to jump over to my site, Alan. You are more than welcome to jump off if you would like, because I know you are slammed over there. And you don't have to. You can stay here with me, but I'm just going to recast what the day looked like, and then I'm going to close it up, and then I'll do my closing bell and get that posted. So,
well, I'll head out of here, but all right, man. Been fun. Thank you.
Great scene, bud. All right, talk to you soon. See you. Okay, so here's what we got, folks. Mortgage rates, they didn't move today, but the big news today that I'll be doing in the closing bell is new home sales soar 20%. Is this a headline you should trust? Well, everybody I'm watching saying this number's probably going to get revised considerably, but home prices did go up. Inventory's down just a little bit, but what do we got here? Expected to be indicted soon in Virginia. We'll go to the next thing. The news that we're getting out tomorrow, we're getting durable goods orders, GDP, and initial jobless claims. This is scaring me because if initial jobless claims come in higher and higher, this is not good news for our economy. We will get existing home sales. We'll see how those fare with the new home sales. And then over through here, I give you my prediction on where home prices and sales are going, or not prediction, the data on it. And then I go over through here, and the question is that you have, should I lock or should I wait? Check out my blog. If you're closing within 45 days, lock them. If you're closing 45 days to 60 days, maybe lock and just look for a float down. If you're closing over 60 days, just hold off. You're going to get a lot of data from here to then. I can't guarantee that rates are going to go down, because what I'm expecting is they're going to stay about 6.375 to 6.625. It'll be in that range, and we're on the downside right now. So I'm advising people to lock in at these rates. So that is that. And then if you go to our website, therateupdate.com, you can find all this and more right through there. Last question we got is, been following you for over a year, just subscribe. Thanks for all your videos. Very informative. Thank you, Paco, for joining us today. And thank all you guys for joining us today at the Rate Update. Every Wednesday, Alan joins us so we can help you guys figure out how do we do that slogan that we talk about. We can put one application, one credit pool. We're going to compare your loan to over 30 different lenders. Well, hopefully you learn that today. So thanks for watching, you guys. We greatly appreciate it. Have a fantastic evening. God bless.